Tonight, breaking news, the first case of the new Omicron variant detected here in the U.S. Health officials confirming a patient in California returning from South Africa 3 days before Thanksgiving. They say the person was fully vaccinated and had mild symptoms and is now recovering. The person did not have the booster. Tonight here, the soaring demand across this country now for boosters. And what Dr. Anthony Fauci said just today about antibodies in your system and why it matters after two shots and the booster. Also developing as we come on the air tonight, the deadly school shooting, a fourth student now dying. And what we've now learned tonight about the alleged shooter, a student at the school hours before this with his parents. Tonight, the major news from the Supreme Court on Roe versus Wade, the challenge to a Mississippi law, and why what we heard from justices today is now putting Roe v. Wade in doubt. You will hear what they said, and Terry Moran is standing by at the court tonight. The wife of a famous music executive shot and killed in their home in Beverly Hills. The prominent couple, major figures in music, mentoring stars for decades. Tonight, the gripping FBI video now made public, you will see the Capitol Hill rioter breaking down in tears during his interrogation. He admits he tased Officer Michael Fanone and what he then says next. Tonight, the new report claiming then-President Trump tested positive for COVID 3 days before his debate with President Biden, but went on with the debate anyway. The first look right here tonight of the ABC News exclusive with actor Alec Baldwin. An emotional Baldwin with George Stephanopoulos saying, "I didn't pull the trigger." Also tonight, news on that Chinese tennis star and her safety, and the construction workers accidentally setting off a World War II bomb.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a Wednesday night. And we begin tonight with the news that that new variant, the Omicron variant, has now been detected here in the United States. The first case confirmed in California, a traveler who returned from South Africa 3 days before Thanksgiving. That person vaccinated but hadn't gotten the booster yet. They got tested after developing mild symptoms. Authorities tonight say close contacts have been reached and have all been negative, and that that person is recovering. Tonight, the variant spreading across the globe, confirmed now in at least 28 countries, eight more in the past 24 hours, of course, now including the U.S. as well. Dr. Anthony Fauci speaking at the White House saying Omicron might be more transmissible and might elude some vaccine protection, but that it is just too early to tell. But he also said the vaccines and the boosters will likely knock down the severity of this new variant. Tonight, health officials are urging the vaccinated to get booster shots, and there's major demand tonight across the country for those boosters. And the Biden administration is expected to tighten rules now for international travelers, requiring testing before boarding their flights to the U.S. And the CDC now directing airlines to provide contact information of passengers from eight countries in southern Africa. ABC's chief national correspondent Matt Gupman leading us off tonight from California.
We have discovered our first case.
Tonight, that first confirmed case of Omicron in the United States. The traveler returned to the San Francisco area from South Africa on Monday, November 22nd, 3 days before Thanksgiving. And 2 days ago, the person reporting mild symptoms and is now recovering. That person was fully vaccinated with Moderna, but was not yet due for a booster shot. California's governor reporting aggressive contact tracing, and so far, all close contacts have tested negative. But the discovery increasing the national urgency to find out more about this variant.
We don't know how infectious it is, although there is a strong likelihood that it is more infectious than Delta. We don't know how sick it will make people, but that is being studied furiously right now across the world.
With Omicron now in the U.S., the Biden administration is planning to tighten rules for international travelers by requiring everyone, vaccinated or not, to be tested 1 day before boarding their flights to the U.S.
I think that would be a little better, yeah.
The CDC this morning directing airlines to provide contact information of passengers who have been in southern Africa. Omicron has been detected in at least 28 countries. And while health experts suspect it is highly transmissible, the World Health Organization says we could have some early data within days. The variant has 50 mutations. 30 on the virus's spike protein alone. And you can see in this image how different Omicron is from Delta.
The profile of the molecular profile of the kinds of mutations that you see would suggest, A, that it might be more transmissible and that it might elude some of the protection of vaccines. But we don't know that now. But I think any declaration of what will or will not happen with this variant, it is too early to say.
Tonight, health officials are urging unvaccinated Americans to get their shot now and the vaccinated to get their booster as soon as they're eligible. Dr. Fauci talking about the spike in antibodies in your system when you're boosted with that extra shot.
Boosting is really very important because the data that we get on boosting, if you look at the level, for example, of an antibody, a neutralizing antibody, peak following the second dose of a two-dose mRNA, it's like at this level. If you look at the peak following the third shot boost, it goes way up here.
Nearly 30% of Americans who are eligible have gotten a booster shot, and demand is surging with concerns about the Omicron variant.
We were kind of a little bit lazy and didn't get our appointments set up yet, so this kind of pushed us forward.
While there is plenty of supply in the pipeline, some pharmacies temporarily running out.
I got a text, your appointment's been canceled.
Yeah, now the frustration across the country trying to get the boosters. Matt with us tonight. And Matt, we also paid attention to Dr. Fauci today saying one thing that we learned from the Delta variant, he said, is that even if a vaccine isn't specifically directed to a new variant, you can still get a high immune response, what he called spillover protection. He said he's expecting that with this new variant too. I wanted to get back to what you reported there on this first case. We all got those alerts the day after Thanksgiving of this new variant. Well, now we know this first U.S. case in California was actually 3 days before Thanksgiving.
That's right, and we just learned something very interesting, David, from the doctor who sequenced that variant in San Francisco. He said that that traveler was actually, quote, very proactive, self-reporting to the San Francisco Department of Health. Doctor also says it's actually a good thing that Omicron is in the United States because now we have a viable sample, and that can give scientists the opportunity to determine whether this variant is, in fact, more transmissible and more virulent than the Delta or not. But the doctor cautions it could take weeks to make that determination. David.
Yeah, we still have a lot to learn tonight. Matt, thank you. We're going to turn next this evening to new developments after that deadly school shooting at a high school in Oxford, Michigan. A fourth student has now died of his wounds, a 17-year-old student. Tonight, the suspect, also a student, a 15-year-old appearing before a judge, arraigned now as an adult on multiple counts, including one count of terrorism and four counts of first-degree murder. We have also now learned tonight the student and his parents were at the school that morning, just hours before all of this played out. ABC's Trevor Ault in Oxford tonight.
You are the parent of Ethan Crumley, is that correct? Yeah, correct.
Tonight, the Michigan 15-year-old accused of committing the deadliest school shooting this year arraigned as an adult on charges including first-degree murder and terrorism.
I am absolutely sure after reviewing the evidence that it isn't even a close call. It was absolutely premeditated.
Today, the sheriff revealing hours before the shooting, school officials met with the suspect and his parents about what the school thought was concerning behavior, but not a potential shooting.
Even the people that had the meetings wasn't on their radar?
I don't believe so.
Authorities say the 15-year-old used a Sig Sauer 9mm his father bought just days before on Black Friday. It's unclear if he had permission to use it. He walked out of the bathroom and opened fire. This terrifying video showing a teacher and students who have trained for this inside their barricaded classroom.
Oh.
Escaping through a window after a knock on the door. And overnight, as authorities swarmed the suspect's home, recovering a notebook and some of his writings, a candlelight vigil for the victims. Authorities now confirming a fourth student has died of his injuries.
Justin Schilling, co-captain of the Oxford bowling team, and a golfer.
16-year-old Tate Meir died in the squad car on the way to the hospital. His football team tweeting, Tate was a great young man with a bright future and beloved by all. And also killed 14-year-old Hannah St. Juliana.
Her father asked me to tell you that she was one of the happiest and most joyful kids.
And 17-year-old Madison Baldwin, whose family says she had just been accepted to several colleges.
She was just the light of so many people, and
This is unimaginable. This is unmanageable.
And David, a law enforcement official tells ABC investigators are now pursuing information that the night before the shooting, some students watched a video on Snapchat warning of a shooting the next day. And some of those students stayed home from school, but no calls or tips were placed with police. David.
All right, Trevor Ault from Michigan tonight. Trevor, thank you. Also tonight, the major news from the Supreme Court on Roe versus Wade, the challenge to a Mississippi law on abortion, and why what we heard from justices today is now putting Roe v. Wade in doubt. ABC's Terry Moran, who has covered the court for years, with the audio tonight, what the justices said today in this case.
At the Supreme Court today, the first signs that Roe versus Wade's days may be numbered. Outside the court, protesters gathered, while inside, the justices heard arguments on that Mississippi law that bans most abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. No exceptions for rape or incest. Roe versus Wade established a woman's constitutional right to have an abortion, and if the court upholds the Mississippi law, it would undermine or overrule Roe altogether. Today, it seemed clear the conservative justices are ready to do exactly that. Chief Justice John Roberts zeroing in on a key issue, viability. Right now, Roe and other cases prohibit states from banning abortion before viability, about 24 weeks. Roberts saying Mississippi's ban on abortions after 15 weeks gives women plenty of time to choose.
Viability, it seems to me, doesn't have anything to do with choice. But if it really is an issue about choice, why is 15 weeks not enough time?
Justice Brett Kavanaugh suggested the states or Congress and not the Supreme Court should be the final arbiters.
Why should this court be the arbiter rather than Congress, the state legislatures, state Supreme Courts, the people being able to resolve this? And there'll be different answers in Mississippi and New York.
Making the case for the Biden administration, Solicitor General Elizabeth Prelogar said that would set women's rights in America back decades.
For a half century, this court has correctly recognized that the Constitution protects a woman's fundamental right to decide whether to end a pregnancy before viability.
Justice Sonia Sotomayor, with the two other liberals on the court, warned of dire consequences if Roe is overturned or gutted.
Will this institution survive the stench that this creates in the public perception that the Constitution and its reading are just political acts? I don't see how it is possible.
A ruling in this case expected at the end of the court's term next summer when most of the big cases are handed down. And you could hear the conservatives aiming high today. They were discussing not so much whether to overturn or gut Roe versus Wade, but how to do it. David?
All right, Terry Moran back at the court for us tonight. Terry, thank you. We turn now to the awful case out of Beverly Hills tonight. The wife of a famous and well-respected music executive was murdered in her home. Jacqueline Avant, so often seen at the side of her husband, Clarence Avant. He was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame just 2 months ago. The couple mentored performers for decades, and here's ABC's Will Carr.
Tonight, a shocking murder in Beverly Hills. Jacqueline Avant, the wife of legendary music executive Clarence Avant, killed overnight in her home.
The motives in this case are still unknown, and we are investigating all possible motives.
Around 2:30 a.m., police receiving a phone call about a shooting near the Avant's residence. When officers arrived, they say the suspects were gone. They found 81-year-old Jacqueline with a gunshot wound. She later died at the hospital. Clarence Avant is a Grammy-winning executive. He was just inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Called the godfather of black music, he was known for his mentorship. He's the founder of two record labels, launching the careers of artists like Bill Withers, famous for the songs Lean On Me and Ain't No Sunshine. He and his wife were married for 54 years and have two children.
Authorities here in Beverly Hills say that Clarence Avant and his security guard were at home at the time of the shooting. Tonight, they're still looking for those suspects, and they're asking for the public's help. It comes as celebrities like Magic Johnson and Tyler Perry are offering their condolences. David.
All right, Will Carr, just an awful story tonight. Will, thank you. Next tonight here, the FBI video now made public the interrogation of an alleged Capitol rioter breaking into tears, admitting he tased Officer Michael Fanone, and then explaining why he went to the Capitol that day. Here's Pierre Thomas.
Tonight, for the first time, we see what prosecutors argue is a confession of one of the men accused of attacking and tasing D.C. police officer Michael Fanone, a symbol of the brutality against law enforcement the day of the insurrection.
Why did you tase him?
I don't know. I'm a piece of I'm sorry. I don't know. He's a human being with children. And he's not a bad guy. He sounds like he's just doing his job. What do you want me to tell you? That I tased him? Yes.
The alleged attacker, Daniel Rodriguez, made clear why he was at the Capitol.
Trump called us, did you see?
If he's the commander-in-chief and the leader of our country, then he's calling for help.
Fanone described to me the horror of the assault on him that day.
Yeah, they were beating me. At one point, I got tased. People were yelling out, you know, we got one. People started chanting, kill him with his own gun.
In the moment, you had to make split-second life and death decisions.
Oh, absolutely.
Rodriguez has pled not guilty, and his attorneys are fighting to get the FBI interrogation blocked from evidence, claiming he was not read his Miranda rights. If convicted, he faces more than a decade in prison. David?
All right, Pierre, thank you. We turn now to a new report tonight that former President Trump tested positive for COVID 3 days before his first debate with Joe Biden, but went to the debate anyway. That news reportedly coming from the former president's own loyal chief of staff, Mark Meadows, The Guardian with a copy of Meadows' new book. ABC News has not independently confirmed what's in this book, but our John Carl has been looking into the possibility of this positive test for some time now.
It's a shocking claim, and it comes from then-President Trump's loyal chief of staff, Mark Meadows, who writes in an upcoming book obtained by The Guardian that Trump tested positive for COVID-19 on September 26th last year, 3 days before he took the stage with Joe Biden for their first debate. Meadows writes that he got the call just after Trump took off on Marine One for a campaign event in Pennsylvania in an urgent call from White House Dr. Sean Conley. Stop the president from leaving, Meadows writes that Conley told him, according to The Guardian, he just tested positive for COVID. Meadows says Trump was tired and appeared to have a slight cold, but that he was determined to debate Biden no matter what, writing, quote, nothing was going to stop Trump from going out there. Today, our Mary Bruce asked President Biden about that.
Do you think the former president put you at risk?
I don't think about the former president.
Back in March, I had heard unconfirmed reports of such a positive test and asked Trump about it in an interview for my book, Betrayal. He flatly denied it.
Some people say you got an initial positive test even before the debate. Is that true or is that not true?
No, that's not true.
David, Meadows writes that Trump's sample was retested on a different machine and came back negative. Days later, however, he told the world he had COVID and was soon on his way to the hospital. Still today, David, he said that he did not have COVID at the time of his debate with Joe Biden.
All right, John Carl live in Washington. John, thank you. And when we come back here tonight, the first look right here, an emotional Alec Baldwin telling George Stephanopoulos he didn't pull the trigger.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight, actor Alec Baldwin breaking his silence after that deadly shooting on a movie set, sitting down with our George Stephanopoulos. Baldwin was asked about the moment cinematographer Helena Hutchins was shot and killed while rehearsing a scene.
It wasn't in the script for the trigger to be pulled.
Well, the trigger wasn't pulled. I didn't pull the trigger.
So no. You never pulled the trigger?
No. I would never point a gun at anyone and pull a trigger at them, never.
Baldwin says he had no reason to suspect the gun contained a live bullet and has no idea how it got there. Authorities, of course, are investigating the shooting. Alec Baldwin Unscripted airs tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on ABC, and then streaming on Hulu. Tonight, the Women's Tennis Association now suspending all tournaments in China and Hong Kong, still concerned about the safety and well-being of tennis star Peng Shuai. Only seen and heard on video, but not in public, since accusing a former Chinese government official of abuse. And in Germany, construction workers drilling accidentally setting off a World War II bomb. At least four people were injured. This happened at a construction site in Munich. Finally, the Sound of Music. In St. Louis, Missouri, the nonprofit Pianos for People giving donated pianos to families who otherwise would not be able to afford them. 11-year-old Eddie Pepper learning Jingle Bells just in time for Christmas.
Hi, David.
Eddie and his mom, Haley, and little brother, Tommy.
I hope everybody has music in their lives and happy holidays.
And then there's 8-year-old Wesley learning Frosty the Snowman.
Hey, David.
Wesley with his mom, Raina. Both grateful.
Because of them, Wesley can read and play music now. It's amazing.
Hello.
And tonight here, the Foley family giving this holiday.
We had the hope that this lovely instrument could find a good home and be put to good use.
It turns out their piano is now moving just 15 minutes away to Carolyn Moore and her son Jabron, both already taking lessons in Mom's song, Ode to Joy. They are grateful for the holiday gift.
It's been a blessing, and we are so grateful today to receive the piano.
I need to practice.
What a gift. Good night.